And oh, I have a gift. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't think of a better place to be but in our Father's house on Father's Day. There couldn't be a better place that we could be. I know there's a lot of families out there and even some of our own church members that are having barbecues, having family gatherings, out fishing on the lakes, on the ocean, wherever it may be. But I can't think of a better place than to be in God's home right now. That's where my Father wants us to be there too. So I'm excited to share with you a message today. And Pastor Kerry asked me if I would talk about Father's Day and share a message. And the first thing I thought of is I was never a father up until about 2 years ago. And then I inherited a large family, which I've come to love and started to discover some of the challenges that many of you had tried to educate me on for so many years. But I can tell you that I am extremely, extremely blessed to have that chapter in my life now. And I can relate to a lot of the love and a lot of the stories that each and every one of you have shared. I thought when I was looking at the program this morning how fitting it was that Natalie had chose this beautiful graphic, and it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Psalm 34:8. What a fitting word today for all the men here that are fathers. And look at the picture behind it. If you didn't notice in the picture, something that struck very interesting to me. This is a map. There's a compass out here. Our compass is to stay true north. It's to stay focused on the heavenly realms and with our Father, with our Papa. So what a great, great way to start this morning. I'd like to share with you a poem. As I was going through some of my research preparing for the week, I ran across this, and I thought this was beautiful. It says, "A father is there in every memory, see his love and care, strength and hands to count on, freely he does share. Provider, toil so faithfully to make our dreams come true, give strong and tender discipline, though it is hard to do. A father is God's chosen one to lead the family and point it to his will for life of love and harmony." Brother Nate, would you bless this word this morning? Amen. Amen. There's an old term in the military, in the armed forces, and some of you are members of this, will relate to it, and it says, "A few good men." The title this morning is, "Bring us a few good men." We need more good men. And good men become good fathers and good dads. There are a lot of prerequisites of what I would call being categorized as a good, good father. We sang about it a few minutes ago in our song. You're a good, good father. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who we want to be. So here are the prerequisites I'd like you to focus on. One is it means being a man. It means being a man. It also means functioning as a man, taking responsibility, thinking and acting like a man, working like a man, and most important, loving as a man. Now, all of these characteristics that are hard to come by these days, yet God has already laid the foundational principles of being a good father. It's found right here in His Word. Everything that we need is right here. I'm going to give the men a challenge today. If somebody has never shared this with you, and to the young men that are here, this is a challenge. The book of Proverbs has 31 different chapters. There's one for every day of the month. If you were to take that day, today happens to be June 19th, and you turn to Proverbs 19 and you read that chapter, you would find a lot of pearls, a lot of wisdom and what it means to be a man and what it means to be a good, good father. So I share that with you today. Take the challenge. Use the books that are here in front of you. And Proverbs is an easy one to remember because there's 31 books in it for 31 days in any given month. I begin today with the scripture from Ezekiel. This will set the tone for the whole message. In Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." I want to share with you three important things for us to remember on this Father's Day. I'm going to call them the three L's. Good men learn to, first of all, lean on the Lord. Good men lead by the Lord. And good men love in the Lord. A good father knows that he must trust in the Lord for all things. Look at the story of Jacob in the Bible. He had 12 sons and one daughter. He trusted in God and he raised his family to fear and to love the Lord. In many of our thresholds in our own homes, when you walk in, you see these words. It says, "As for me and my family, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." You and I have chosen to serve the Lord. And that's why we're gathered here this morning. He's first in our life. So being a good father understands that we need to understand our Heavenly Father because He's set the precedence of what it means to be a good father. Now for the ladies here this morning, let me say, I have some words for you. Men are sometimes very hard to understand. Imagine that. We tend to have our own man thesaurus, as you would call it. And allow me to give you some examples for future benefit. Now, when a man says, "It would take too long to explain," what he means is, "I have no idea how it works." Or when a man says, "Take a break, honey, you are working too hard," he means, "I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "Can I help you with dinner?" he means, "Why isn't it ready yet?" And how about this? When a man says, "You look terrific," he means, "Oh, please don't try on one more outfit. We're late and I'm starving." So in all fairness, ladies, there's also a women's thesaurus, I'm sure. But we'll save that for another time, perhaps on Mother's Day. We thank God for good men He has sent us here, right here in Blue Lake Community Church. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought a few good men. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You see, we have a roadmap. We have that compass already set for us. Now, why do we lean on the Lord as our Father? Well, for one, salvation. Another is strength, another is supply, and the other one is soundness. So I want to talk with you about each of these as well. Salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, ladies, we men are really bad about trying to be in control, to make things happen. I'm guilty of that. Often ladies find it easier to rest in the Lord and lean on Him for salvation. It's a part of a woman's nature to place themselves in someone else's hands. It's not that way for men. Is that fair? Well, Jesus solves this dilemma. If you go on into the book of Matthew, in Matthew 18:3, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. As children, as boys and girls, we learn to trust. But somewhere along the line, we sometimes begin to rely on ourselves rather than the Lord, who is really our foundation of truth. Everything comes from Him. Salvation is important when it comes to leaning on the Lord. It is an epitome of what our life is about. And then there's strength. In Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." In Psalm 147:10, "He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man." I had forgot about that verse until I ran across a reference to this. I thought, what a powerful message. "He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man." We also lean on God for supply, men. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We all want to be the breadwinner. We want to be the mighty hunter. But ultimately, we need to see even our own selves as being in God's hands. And then finally, we lean on the Lord for soundness, for reasoning, and for wisdom. Psalm 46:10. Or before I get to there, James 1:5. Excuse me. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. I thank God for a few good men who have learned to lean." Amen. To capture all of that, finding peace by leaning on the Lord as our Father, I go to Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know about you, but I have never had any success trying to boss someone around while attempting to trust them simultaneously. It just doesn't work. Trying to be in control and relinquishing control at the same time just doesn't work. They can't coexist inside the same heart. It doesn't happen. When we let God drive our lives and trust that He knows best, we are able to rest and stop striving, which means that we ultimately experience peace. In the original Hebrew language, did you know that the phrase cease striving indicates giving up and letting our hands down? Interesting, huh? This means that you can't hold the steering wheel and let God drive at the same time if you want to experience the peace that comes from trust. Nope. You've got to let your hands down. You've got to let go of the wheel, my friend. You really do. Men have also learned that it's important to lead. We talked about leaning. Now we're going to talk about it's important to lead. We need to lead our flesh, men. Galatians 5:16 through 17 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do these things that you wish." In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Man, we have to lead our flesh, or our flesh will lead us. Excuse me, I'm going to grab some water. I have a problem with buckeye trees. And there happens to be one right out here. And it gets me every time. Thank you for water, Lord. Man, we have to lead our flesh or our flesh will lead us. I want to talk about their families. We need to lead our families. In Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Headship isn't being a big boss. It's loving leadership. It's loving leadership. God is no respecter of persons, and women are equal in his sight. The Bible says, she is the weaker vessel. Now, ladies, this is not an insult. Rather, it's a compliment to her. She is not less valuable. Rather, she is more fragile and in need of strong yet loving leadership. Gentlemen, women are like fine silk. Men are more like corduroy. Silk and corduroy. Corduroy and silk. Which is more fragile? Which is more valuable? Well, the answer to this question is silk. In God's wisdom, he has given each family a head. But this is not a privilege as much as it is a responsibility. The hardest thing you will ever do will be to be a good husband and a good father to your children at the same time. Eli could run to the temple, but he could not run his family, as found in the book of Samuel. David could run a kingdom and lead men into battle, but he could not run his children, as we find in the book of Kings. Lead our flesh, gentlemen, and we lead our families. We also need to lead the fallen to Jesus. Hosea 6:7 says, but like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. The word men can often be translated at this particular juncture as Adam. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, beginning with Adam. Romans 5:18 through 19 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That's powerful. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. He paid the price for our sins on the cross. Only righteousness through the cross and through Jesus and his blood. Now let me ask you this. Shall many? Not if we don't lead the fallen. Shall many experience salvation? Not if we don't lead the fallen. That's why God left us here. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Shall all? Not if we don't lead the fallen. I thank God for a few good men who have learned to lead. And finally, we come to men who have learned to love. The Father, our Lord, is where we start. Our love for Him. 1 Corinthians 13 says, a beautiful chapter, 1 through 3, says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Moving on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, 22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Come, Lord, come. Men want to love their families. We covered this under leadership. How? When we said the only real leadership is loving leadership. Further, God admonishes every husband to love your wife. This may seem like a strange admonition to many. Some will say, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have married her. Now, wait a minute. Love, as used here, means far more than affection. It means more than emotional feeling and satisfaction. It means that you or I are going to seek the welfare and the happiness of the person we are going to love and lead them lovingly. That means that my effort will be to make the object of my love happy, excuse me, secure, and comfortable. All of these. We need to love our families. And this admonition goes far beyond just telling the husband to love his wife as long as she is beautiful, lovely, etc. Found this, and it was a clever little thing that happened. It says, a man was talking to his wife after she had done something that he did not approve of. And he said to her, how can you be so beautiful and stupid at the same time? Wow. She replied, God made me beautiful so you would love me, and he made me stupid so I would love you. Good wisdom, gentlemen, to remember. We also love through the fellowship of the church. Isn't it awesome that we can get together here in Blue Lake Community Church? I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Iowa in the cornfields. When I get up in the morning now, I look out my window and I don't see corn stalks. I see giant redwoods and firs and the beauty of God's majesty. Even though that was simplistic and it was fun, even my dad will tell you it's a lot prettier around here. Oh, bless you. Thank you. It's a lot prettier right here. We're very, very blessed. Thank you, Jeremiah. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The same passage tells us to love in the same way. Revelation 3:9, indeed, I will make those of this is powerful. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Written to a church. He loves the church. And so should we. That was written in Revelation to one of the seven churches. How about Isaiah 43:4? Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life, fellowship in the church. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You see, men, we're taught to love because God first loved us. Matthew 12:50 says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother, there is the family of God. We also need to get connected. Fellowship, get connected. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's fellowship. That's the church. And Acts 2:47, finally, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, it is Father's Day, but we have to recognize our Father in a way that is loving, praising Him, thanking Him for so much. The word we hear, Yahweh, I am, the great I am. The word Abba can be translated in Aramaic, meaning daddy, papa. He loves us so much. It's where it all starts. You know, what better way for me to share with you this morning what it means to be brought up by a good man, my dad? Now, I'm blessed today because he's sitting right here in the second row. And he's looking up at me, and, well, maybe he's wondering what I'm going to say. But my dad is a God-fearing man. He taught me about his love for God and Jesus at a very young age. He taught me who my real father was, even though he was my earthly dad. He even had such a love and passion for sharing the word of the gospel, he attended seminary and college. He loved my mother very much and set an example for our whole family. My mother passed away 6 years ago. I wish she was sitting here among you. You would have loved her. She's an extremely intelligent, compassionate woman. She was a teacher her whole life. She taught my dad well. And thus she taught me as well. When dad would sometimes try to lead, my mother would gently correct him and say, now Glenn, you know. Or Glenn, they're just children. But it was always done out of love. And my father would react, thank you, Myrna. Thank you, honey. How blessed I was to have that kind of setting. You know what? In today's times, not every young boy or young girl has the opportunity to grow up in a relationship with a father. The rates are alarming in our country today, the fatherless children. What a shame that they don't experience that love at a young age. And we wonder why we have problems with crime in our prisons and our jail cells filled when no one was there to give them an example. Well, I'm here to tell you today that we have an example right here. If you didn't have a good earthly father to guide you along the way, you have the Father right here. Amen. And His name is known by many, but He's our God. He's our love. He's our Abba. He's our Yahweh. He's Jehovah Jireh. So many things. He's the beginning, the end. He's the omnipotent God. All creation. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's where it all starts. Now, my dad was pretty caring. He always took time to teach me well. He was a hard-working, blue-collar man. I can remember many times he would come out and drag me outside after he got off work. And he worked at a meatpacking plant where he hauled 300-pound hogs on his shoulder in a freezer all day. He was tired. And he pulled me outside and said, come on, son, it's time to play some catch. Or let's go down to the ball field. Let's go play some catch. Let's hit some ground balls. Let's see how you're doing on your fielding skills, and we'll work on your hitting. He always took time to be with me. I have a younger sister, Michelle. He did the same with her, to walk with her, to talk with her, to go to her school plays, to go to her special workshops, to be a father-daughter relationship as well, which is so important. I think sometimes when I see a father-daughter relationship, I appreciate that much more being a son, and that he's doing it as an example of loving, so that later in life, when I were to become wed, I would know what it's truly like to love a woman. You see, it all starts with our Father, our Heavenly Father, and it's passed on to generation, generation. Now, I have to tell you, my dad wasn't always just a real nice guy. He was also quite a comedian. And he used to do some pretty crazy things, but the one that kind of stands out, and I like to reflect on this because it's Father's Day and he's right here. We had gone on a trip to Florida down to Orlando, our whole family, and we were returning late at night to Omaha, Nebraska. And we got into the airport, and all the luggage was coming off. And you know in the baggage terminals where they have the carousel? The bags come up the chute, then they go down around the carousel. Well, there was a huge crowd of people. It's late at night. It's like 12:30 in the morning. We're all tired. We're exhausted. One by one, our bags start coming off for our family, but there was one big one that was still left, and it was my dad mom's suitcase. Now, my dad's getting kind of tired there, and we're all standing around watching this. So he says, excuse me, excuse me. He starts shoving people out of the way in the carousel. Excuse me. And he sees that last piece of luggage coming up the carousel chute. And as it gets to the top, he's going, excuse me, excuse me. He's trying to get over there. And it comes off the chute to go on the carousel. But there's two or three bags that are stuck at the top. Well, my dad by that time was in such a determined state, he lunged for the suitcase. And as he lunged, he fell onto the carousel and he began going around and around and around on the carousel. And I looked at my sister, I said, we don't know him. Let's get out of here. He'll catch us in the car. He really did some funny things that I'll never forget. But there are some things that I think are also loving and gentle that I'll remember. I spent some time at the Good News Rescue Mission over in Reading. And the time when I was in the darkest place in my life, my entire family had given up on me. Except for one man, my dad. Came to the hospital. When I was at the mission, transforming my life, and God was working in me hard, I would relish the fact that almost daily I would get a letter. The letter was from my father. He had written a letter to me. And his letters were very distinct. He has a very distinct backhand slant. Even though he's right-handed, it slants this way, and you could tell. And he was real eloquent. He's a great writer, a great speaker. And it was always fun to read those things. In fact, at one time he called and he said, can I come and stay at the mission with you? And I thought, well, I don't think you really want to be here, Dad. And he did. He stayed with all the men. He slept in the bunk beds with us. And they called him Pop in the morning, and Pop was around for almost a week. And he had a lot of fun. But he did it because he loves me. And I love him so dearly. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for loving me, because I love you. Hard work and sacrifice, men, for our families. Hard work and sacrifice. But we do it out of love. Vacations, sports. Kerry has often shared with me how much he loves sports and how he shared that with his kids, his son playing football. And I also was brought up with a dad that played baseball. He was a great athlete in his day. I can remember to this day my most memorable times were driving in the car to Iowa City for a five-hour drive from a little town in northwest Iowa to watch a Big Ten football game on Saturday. I had the opportunity to go experience The teams like Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State playing the University of Iowa. And in those early years, it was brutal. It was ugly. It was bad. If we scored a point, it was a good game. But in later years, they turned that around, and we got to see the glorious years of the Iowa Hawkeyes. But he instilled that competitive spirit in me and his love for the sport. But he also knew what it was to be in good sportsmanship. And he taught me how to lose gracefully and how not to boast in my winnings, but to thank God for what he'd given me. Thank you, Dad, that you instilled that trait in me as well. So as I close this morning, there's a song that I remember so much growing up, and many of you will relate to this, and it's about teaching our children. Crosby, Stills, and Nash wrote a song. Most of you know what I'm talking about. It's called Teach Your Children Well. And the first set of lyrics says, "You who are on a road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picks, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you." That's what it's all about. You know, we often listen to pastors talk about the prodigal son. It's one of the most famous scriptures that we read about. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I am now blessed as a husband more than ever before. I'm a father also because of Nancy. I now have 3 beautiful children, and I have 4 grandchildren that I love very, very much. She gave me the one thing that I had never had in my life for over 50 years, and that was the ability to have a child. Thank you, Nancy. You're a good wife, and I love you very much. I thank God today for the few good men God has given us, don't you? We need a few more. So how about you? Teach, lead, love. We love because he first loved us. I'm going to close with this scripture again that we started with. Ezekiel 22:30 said, "So I thought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Don't you want to be the one that says, "Choose me, Lord. I will go"? God wants us to be bold in our walk. And gentlemen, today and Father's Day, let's not forget about our wives and about the women in our lives that are the fine silk that have helped us to become the men that we are today. A few good men and more to come because of you and I. Before I pray and close today, I'd like to have an invitation. If you've been a good father for a long time, or if you're a new father, or if you're a young man that hasn't had that responsibility yet, I encourage you to make sure that your walk is in accordance with the Lord. If there's anyone today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, today he is at the door and he's knocking. And I'd like to pray for you Is there anyone among you today that would like to accept our Lord Jesus Christ with what you've heard or what you feel in your heart? Anyone at all? And I trust that you've all made that decision. We would love to be here to pray with anybody that has needs. Pastor Carey and the elders of the church will be up here for prayer at the conclusion. And at this point, I'd just like to share a closing prayer with all of you. Father, thank you that you would choose a few men. Thank you, Father, that you don't choose the qualified, but you qualify the chosen. And that we've been chosen for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, that you would bring God-fearing women into our life to guide us and to help us to raise our families in your truth and in your love. Lord, walk with us. Teach every man today what it's truly like to lean on you, to lead in you, and to love in you. We praise you, Father. We thank you that we can be your sons and daughters. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ the Messiah, amen.